The gospel for today is from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John the baptizer had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you this day from Jesus our Savior and from the Spirit who brings us, gives us life. A typical hearing of today's gospel goes something like this. Jesus now has honed the message of his ministry to a single sentence. Every good mission statement can be boiled down to a single sentence, so Jesus has his message in one sentence: repent, which means literally turn around, change your ways, change your mind, for the kingdom of God is coming near. He's got a message, and now he needs some folks to help him get out the message, and so he begins the recruiting process. He begins looking for apprentices to share the message of repentance and the God's kingdom coming near. The gospel tells us why he leaves home in Nazareth to go to the region of Galilee. It's really not all that far, but in Galilee he fulfills a prophecy of the prophet Isaiah and then begins wandering down the lake shore that looks something like this. I suspect in Jesus' day the water was higher, but this is the Sea of Galilee right near the town where the town of Capernaum was. And as he wanders down the lake shore, he sees a couple of fishermen. That's not one of the fishermen that he saw. I don't know. I don't think Mary was fishing there. But it could be right on those rocks where Simon, Peter, and Andrew were fishing. And they were doing something like this. Not in a boat, it sounds like, but they were casting out their nets from the shore. So this is a little bit, there's some probably higher tech stuff in this net. But the process hasn't changed all that much in 2,000 years. We don't know if the fishermen Jesus saw had seen him before, or if this was the first time, but Jesus calls to them, "Follow me," and immediately they drop their nets and they follow him. And then it happens again. Jesus spies two brothers a little further down the lakeshore. They're actually in their boats mending their nets with their father, and Jesus says to them, "Follow me," and they drop their nets and do what Jesus asked them to do. And they leave their poor father behind in the nets, and I always wonder what Zebedee thought about that. Well, the preacher or teacher telling this story often holds up this as an example of discipleship, that when Jesus calls, you follow, you drop everything, you leave everything behind to go where Jesus goes, where Jesus leads you. And I suspect that the vast majority of listeners are unsure what to make of this story, especially this interpretation, because not many of us who hear this story, in the moment we hear it, or on the Monday that follows the Sunday we hear it, drop everything, quit our jobs, and go where Jesus leads us. At best, it can seem irrelevant to our lives, a story about some superstar disciples that has little to do with us. At worst, it feels like just another guilt trip for coming up short as a follower of Jesus. I want to suggest this morning that your calling is closer than you think. Sometimes Jesus' call to discipleship requires a change in work and a relocation in our setting. When I was in seminary, one of my classmates was going to become a second career pastor. He was in his mid-30s. He had 4 kids. They uprooted their lives from a small town in Minnesota to move to St. Paul. For him, the call meant a complete change in his life and a change in the life of his family. But I would argue that this is the exception to the rule. What if following Jesus is more about how you do your daily work, whether it's paid or unpaid, rather than about geographic relocation? What if dropping your nets is more about repenting of an understanding of work that only benefits yourself or the company you work for instead of blessing the community? After reading the Gospels several times over several years, I wonder if this really was the last time that Jesus' disciples went fishing. In the stories that follow, they seem to have easy access to boats all the time. At the end of John's Gospel, they go fishing again. I wonder if those disciples weren't bivocational in some way, and that they continued to fish and work and all at the same time follow Jesus until Jesus literally scattered them out across the Middle East. The point is that following Jesus usually does not require something separate from the daily work you do. Following Jesus means recognizing that you are already in the mission field in your daily work, whatever that is. Jesus' invitation in today's gospel happens in the workplace. Huh? Jesus doesn't say, "I'm starting a school of evangelism in Jerusalem, y'all better come." He comes down, as we'll sing after the sermon, he comes down to the lake shore. He walks down the Sea of Galilee's rocky shoreline. He meets those fishermen right where they are, doing their everyday work on the job, tossing their nets into the water, retrieving them, mending those that are torn. There's nothing here that's particularly spiritual. They're doing the sweaty manual labor that fishermen do day after day after day. And when Jesus calls them to follow him and join his ministry, he also communicates with them in terms they know best. He talks to them in the language they know. He doesn't lay out a theological and ecclesiological vision of the significance of justification by grace through faith. He says, "Hey, you know how to fish? Follow me. I'll show you how to fish for people." Jesus calls to each of us begins not with what Jesus knows, but with what we know. It begins not with some ideal job description for a superstar disciple, but with whatever we already do best. And so before the disciples hear a word about expectations about what a disciple should be doing, Jesus reassures them they can do it. You know how to fish? You're already halfway there. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. And so you here might hear Jesus say, "Follow me, you bankers and you investment consultants, and I will make you invest in people. Follow me, you farmers, and I will make you growers of servants of God. Follow me, you doctors, you nurses, you PAs and nurse practitioners, and I will make you healers of hearts and minds. Follow me, you educators, and I will make you teachers of grace and love." Tell me what you do, Jesus says, and I'll show you how you're already halfway there. Now follow me so we can get the rest of the way together. It's not as hard as you might think. Christ meets us and starts with us always right where we are, and then challenges us to follow him with what we know into a new way of doing our daily work, a new way of living. Years ago, Milt Kiers became president of Star Sprinkler. Now, Star Sprinkler was a struggling manufacturer of fire protection equipment in Milwaukee. Milt already had two decades of business experience, and he was ready for a new challenge. And so he signed up to turn this company around that was struggling. About the time he was just getting started, a friend invited him to a conference on micro-enterprise. He heard in that conference a call, a calling to follow me. That night he talked with several other Christian business people about how God might use them to bless their community, to fight poverty in their city with their particular skills. For the first time, Kiers recognized that his position and skills as a businessman were gifts from God for living out Jesus' call. And he realized that following Jesus could mean collaborating in the coming of God's kingdom in a significant way through the daily work that he already did. Milt decided to find an urban ministry partner in Milwaukee with whom he could work to provide job opportunities for the many unemployed people of the city. Several ministries turned him down. They were suspicious of just another white do-gooder who would be here today and gone tomorrow. But Milt persevered and finally convinced the pastor of a small congregation in one of the more crime-infested parts of the city to join him to share a partnership. Pastor James Carrington of the Lighthouse Gospel Chapel convinced 19 people in his parish to show up for a meeting with Milt. All of them were looking for work. It was more than Milt expected, but he dutifully wrote down everyone's name, hoping to get to all of them sometime. And then Milt said later, God performed a miracle. Star Sprinkler received a huge surge in numbers. Milt was able to hire everyone on his list. Lighthouse Church rallied behind the newly employed. They provided transportation to work and later offered childcare services. The businessman and the pastor became friends. They were in regular communication about any particular challenges facing the parishioners' employees. They both had different viewpoints and went to work together to care for those who needed extra care. And eventually, more than 100 persons in that neighborhood, members of the church and beyond the church, benefited from this unique partnership. And Milt reported experiencing more joy in his work than he'd ever experienced in his life before. One of the joys of my daily work has been to hear stories from some of you, both of how you have begun to understand how God is using you in your work to bless others, and then also to hear from other partners who have experienced the gifts of those of you who are doing your daily work. So to hear from the artist what joy it gives him or her to be an artist, and then to hear from the person who's been recipient of the art. Or to hear from doctors who are partners and from their patients who are also partners who have been blessed by the care with which they are healed. From teachers and from their students. To hear from contractors and tradesmen who do their work with expertise and integrity, and then to hear from partners who are so grateful that they've met someone that they can depend on for their craft. Your calling is closer than you think. Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me into the workplace, whether it be fishing on the shore of Lake Galilee or some business in Sioux Falls. Follow me, and I will make you collaborators in the coming of the kingdom of God. I will meet you in whatever work you do. I will use whatever skills and gifts you have to bring light and life to the community. Follow me, and I will lead you to protect and defend vulnerable people wherever you meet them, because that is all of our callings. Follow me and keep on following me until you are caught up in my love for my world and for all its people across all borders. We'll do this together, Jesus calls, when the church is gathered, but especially when the church is scattered. A decade ago, a church in Atlanta launched what they call the My 95 initiative. The church recognized that even the most active partners, the most active members in the church, only gathered with one another for 5% of their waking week, which meant at least 95% of partners' days were spent away from church gatherings, as it should be. The church taught that the time together in worship and faith formation and service in the community is critical in giving us a compass, a navigation system to help orient us in the Christian life and what it means to follow Jesus. But almost all of our following Jesus happens in the world, and much of it in our daily work, whether paid or unpaid. The inauguration of Jesus' kingdom happens there too. This morning, Jesus is calling you. If you're in this room, you have a call today. Jesus is calling you. Follow me. And keep on following me, and you will find your life and your work and your neighborhood, our city, transformed into a way of blessing. Step out in faith, risk a little, stop worrying about getting everything right. If you read about those fishermen Jesus called, they hardly ever got it right. And Jesus seems to delight in working with us in our weaknesses. The kingdom of heaven is coming near, and with it comes God's Spirit to use you right where you are with whatever gifts you have for God's purposes. Amen.